cool. Oh, thanks.
Cool.
Hey, I'm here with George Lewis Jr. in Studio 1A. You just did a brilliant performance. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, I'd love to hear about a song, like a transformative, life-changing song. No pressure or anything. Just a transformative, life-changing song.
It's really tough because I've had so many so many moments where a song will completely change my perspective on music or what I find important in music. So there's almost like one for every period of my life and every new thing that I get into. And at the risk of sounding typical, I'm going to still go with the song that I think changed everything in terms of writing and what it means to really explore your mind and put that down and onto a record. And I have to say that Sad Eyed Lady of the Lowlands, which is on the end of Blonde on Blonde.
Yeah, the Bob Dylan song.
Record. It still is. It's weird. I don't even listen to it anymore. I probably haven't listened to that song in about 4 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember what I found amazing about that song was it truly is a song that could go on forever. It's written, not only is it a long song, I think it's something like 7 minutes or 6 minutes long or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's written in a way where it is this circle that continues and it goes on and on and on. And what it does is once you stop listening to it, you have your own lyrics and your own story that you fit inside of this thing that goes on forever. And I thought that was really amazing. Because what I usually think songs that go on last forever are songs like pop songs, like Michael Jackson songs or Madonna songs. And this isn't really a pop song at all. It's not really a blues song. It's not really a folk song. But it's just this, it's like a meditation that just goes on forever. And just the dedication of like writing about him, writing about this one person and having so many things to say and trying to fit that into a song, but not making you feel like you're like working for it.
Right on, or not, or like, oh, and here he goes again, yeah, talking about some more about this lady.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so it's so good that you actually want to continue like the story once,
yeah,
the song ends.
And you don't listen to that song and not listen to it all the way through. You know, it's just it's like watching a really great film. That song.
It's crazy because there was a time in high school when I was super into Blonde on Blonde, but like the more like. Upbeat part of Blonde on Blonde. I don't think maybe I ever really explored Sad Eyed Lady of the Lowlands, and now I want to go home and listen to it. I mean, how old were you when you heard that song? Like,
I think I was 13. But I don't think I really like understood how important it was until I was probably 18 years old. Yeah, it just really, to this day, when I think about it, I just think about it as like, it's the ultimate like dedication, not dedicated to, but dedication to like his own focus on creating this like perfect piece of music.
You mean like on taking like one like focused piece? What am I trying to say? So like the dedication of like trying to figure out like, this is what I am going to write about. And then I am going to like explore.
Yeah. It's like sculpt, you know, this may sound corny, but like sculpting something from a huge chunk of marble, like that. It's like a daunting task to create like a figure out of this big square. And that's what that song is. It's like, it is like this beautiful sculpture that, you know.
Like by the end of it, you have this like fully formed version of who this sad-eyed lady of the Lillians
is. But like, it's also like not, it doesn't seem like it's been revised. Like it feels like it just came out and it was just chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. And then once he saw the image, that was it. It was done. But it took, but it, there's a lot of toiling, I guess. I like that because I think that most of the time I really like when songs are like, I like when songs are fast and easy to write.
Like a verse, chorus, verse, bridge.
Yeah, like I like hearing music in a very pop way.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, like I think it's important for an artist to explore like their, like to have their epic moment. And that is Dylan's most epic moment, I think.
Whoa. Now I really want, I can't, I really want to go home and listen to this. So
it's not very many people's favorite song.
I mean, I've listened to a lot of Bob Dylan, but I have never like focused on this song. And it sounds like there was a point in your life when you were like super focused on this song. Like, did you, when you were 18 and you kind of understood it, was there a time when you just like listened to the song?
Yeah, I listened to it all the time. And you know, I listened to it till I memorized all the lyrics and I've forgotten them since, but,
were you writing songs at this point?
Like, I wasn't very good at it. And I think that really helped me kind of learn how to write a song. This idea of like weaving things together came from listening to that song and that record, as well as many other.
Well,
records,
but did you learned all the words to that song? Did you learn how to play it on guitar? Like, could you play it?
I actually never even tried to learn how to play it. I don't think.
Really?
I think maybe a friend of mine is like a bigger Dylan fanatic than I am, but and maybe one night. We may have sang it together or something. It's more just this kind of precious thing to me that, you know, I kind of take out of the box every once in a while and listen to.
And you look at it, you listen to it and you go like, ah, that's like, that's what you want to do.
It's like the ultimate artist song. I wouldn't say it's like the perfect song for an audience, but it's for, to me, I can imagine him feeling true like ecstasy after writing that song.
Like what true when people talk about like success, like being a successful artist. I mean, there's one thing to be successful in the eyes of other people, but to write something that you can truly like love and believe in. Like, and so when you hear this at 18, I mean, have there been times when you've like sat down and been like, okay, we're going to try to write Sad Eyed Lady of the Lowlands, like,
no.
But the George Lewis version?
No, I don't think of music in that way.
Like not tried to write that song, but like tried to go to that place.
Right.
Of
I think I felt what it may have felt like, but I could never say. I do like always try to have like, or I'd like to have a like real transcendent moment at every song I write. And that doesn't always happen. You know, it's like a really crazy, rare and beautiful thing that you have to really just give yourself up to your surroundings and the atmosphere and your emotions to get to.
Do you think that it involves like letting go of a lot of like,
yeah, like
notions of yourself and ego and what you should be doing and like,
yeah, or but the, not necessarily letting go of your ego. It's more like, I don't know. It's impossible to describe that thing that you do. I mean, it's like a total embrace of who you are, the bad parts of you, the good parts of you, and also being completely vulnerable to outside influence. I don't know. It's that magic that everybody talks about. And I think that song really is magic.
Yeah. Music is pretty, it's weird when you actually start talking about it, like, yeah, it's pretty magical because there's something else about, I think, a transcendent moment in songwriting. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's when you feel like you've maybe touched on something that's like way that it's about you, but it's way bigger than you. Like right. you've kind of touched into something about being human or alive or yeah. like just existing.
I'm pretty sure that you can be cynical about just about anything in this world, but music is one of those things, whether you play it or whether you listen to it, where you can find truths always. It's really easy to see music that is pretentious, but it's also really easy to find music that is has a lot of honesty, or is dishonest in a purposeful way and makes you feel excited about life.
Yeah,
you know, that's the cool thing about music, is there's always magic happening inside of it.
So that's what you're in it for. Like I feel like everyone's in it for, you know, a different reason, but are you kind of like in it to get those moments of transcendence and those moments of feeling like magic either through songwriting or performing? Or
for sure, I think that is the core of why I do it. There's a million other reasons as well, you know, which I can't deny, the need for attention, the excitement of the excitement of that attention. I think there's a million reasons to do it, and I don't try to weigh them.
Mm-hmm.
Having the transcendent magical moments shouldn't really outweigh my excitement for when I play live and people clap. You know,
yeah.
It's like it's all this very even thing. But when I'm writing music, that is what I guess I'm trying to achieve those moments.
Right on. Excellent. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to go home and listen to Sad Eyed Lady of the Lowlands and like listen for that. And now when I listen to your music, I'll be listening for cool. that too. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.